Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Celtics get the win in Game 2 without Jason Tatum. And when we get to They Said It in about 15 minutes at 7:20, we will hear and go over what Joe Mazzulla had to say post-game. But we have leads left, including one from Courtney. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's time to press the panic button because an eighth body has been found in Springfield. I brought this up a few weeks ago, that there could be a serial killer in New England, and these bodies keep piling up.
This is creating so much anxiety for you, and it appears like it's something that just started on Facebook, and the authorities continue to deny it.
Well, the authorities keep saying that they can't find any direct ties between all of these women, but throughout March and April, eight women have been found dead.
Right.
Four towns in Connecticut, in New Haven, Norwalk, Groton, and Killingly, Foster in Rhode Island, in Framingham, Plymouth, and now Springfield in Massachusetts.
Huh.
So you're talking southern New England.
Yeah.
All of them found near or in bodies of water.
Really?
And this is not, this doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there is a Facebook group that is a bunch of sleuths that are trying to figure this out, connect dots. There's over 65,000 people in this Facebook group. So this is gaining attraction.
Yeah.
A lot of people are concerned about this. I brought it up when it was only four bodies. We're now at eight in 2 months.
Yeah.
And while
why is this not being covered? I feel like this should be the biggest story in America.
Well, yeah. It is. Like, if you go on Boston 25, there's an article about it. If you go on Twitter and you're X and you're looking around, like, people are talking about it.
You have to search for it. Curtis is right. Like, you don't, I haven't heard about, I heard when you talked about it, but you don't never see it on the news or anything like that.
Yeah, well, you know, the true crime people and some who, like the FBI and others, will tell you that at any moment in America, there are multiple serial killers that are operating doing their business, and we don't even know about it or even think about it.
Yeah, but in today's day and age, isn't it generally more like spree killers than it is serial killers of the time, just because of all the...
What kind of a flex is that?
Yeah, what's a spree killer? Well,
when they kill multiple people in a very short amount of time.
You're saying that's happening more than serial killers?
Yeah, because of the social media and the cameras everywhere and stuff like that.
I mean, there have always been serial killers.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't disagree.
Can I get a dad joke in? this week, RFK Jr., serial killer. No more Fruit Loops.
Yes.
Well, now, done. Two things that are making me feel better about this is, while they've found the bodies, you don't know when they've actually been killed. So this could have happened over a period of time and not just in the last 2 months. And the Springfield woman who was found, they keep saying she was found unresponsive. So in my mind, did she die of natural causes or something like that? And she's just getting added to the list.
Okay.
It's all just very scary.
All right. Well, be careful.
Yes. Everybody should. Yes, always. Yes.
Especially Courtney, the ladies.
Thank you, Courtney. Wiggy, good morning.
All right. Good morning. So we did this with Jaylen Brown a little bit. And I'm wondering if maybe we should do it with Jason Tatum after watching last night's game. Do we say, all right, Jason, you could sit for Friday. We don't necessarily need you to beat the Magic.
Okay.
We were looking at, we did the same thing with Jaylen and getting the rest. And because we're going to need you more, and we want to make sure that, because if it is a pain thing, we want to have you at a point where basically you can go out there, play, fall on it, all types of stuff.
And not worry about it at all.
And not worry about it at all.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like Orlando is going to be able to put it together to win a game. I think we thought maybe, you know, this series went five and it wasn't a sweep. We talked about it at the start of the show, but they can't shoot the three to save their lives.
Right.
They were horrible last night.
And you're a better road team than you are a home team, too, at least this season. So playing on the road is not a big issue for you. And you're right, Greg. That's the thing with the Celtics. Even though they might start off bad shooting threes, whether it's the third quarter or the fourth quarter, they're always...
No, they won that game in the third quarter. Like, the first 2.5 minutes of that third quarter last night, they were up... they got themselves up by 15 and they didn't look back. So I, yeah, maybe you're right.
So is it even worth it playing them on Friday and saying, all right, let's see how you are, you know, let's see how you are today, Jason? You may shoot around a little bit. If there is a little bit of pain, and yeah, you could play on Friday if it was a game seven. Yeah. No need, and then see how you feel Sunday.
I was waiting for Joe Mazzulla to yell "get up" to Kristaps Porzingis last night,
nope.
But he didn't do that. Maybe it's because there was blood.
Yeah, there was blood on that one.
If you see blood, you don't tell somebody.
And it was, I believe that when that took place, it was closer to the bench, so I think he had a better view of.
That guy is the best, though.
Oh, yeah, Porzingis. I love him.
He loves it, too.
The smile on his face after the bandage.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, he's just, and he had a game last night.
Yeah. He was off from 3-point land, but just having him on the court.
Though, I mean, how many times did he go to the line? He must have gone to the line like 14, 15 times last night.
Having him on the court just is so much different. That's why when you look at the OKC matchup, I don't think he played in either game in those OKC matchups. So he's able to give you a low post game. He's able to do that pick and pop. He's able to go kind of like, you know, set the pick and then kind of find himself right in that high post on the free throw line in a mismatch. He just does so much. And on the defensive side of the ball.
Defensively, he looked like he was everywhere last night.
Because he's so long. He just alters shots. He blocks shots. So.
No, I mean, that game, you know, the best part for me about that game was they were off. Celtics were off in the first half when it came to threes.
Yep.
And they took an inordinately small amount of threes in the first half. I think they attempted 16 and made 4.
Right.
And they average 48 a game or whatever when it comes to attempts. So but they got it done.
Right.
This series is over.
Like, and that's why, so I'm like, do you even really think about playing Tatum in game 3 down in Orlando?
Yeah.
And then if you win game 3, then it's like, all right, is it worth it in game 4?
Okay, Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
Maria from Watertown alluded to this when she called the show earlier, but Bruins front office and ownership spoke yesterday. Jeremy Jacobs was asked about yet another ticket price increase by the Boston Bruins, and here's what he said.
Well, on top of the 9% last year.
Ticket pricing is a sensitive subject. I'm aware of that. Things cost more. The way our structure of the U.S. economy is based, things cost more. I expect that you probably pay your higher electric bill than you did last year. I know that we, for instance, pay more to open our building for security, for ushers, for concession workers, for parking attendants, you know, everything. People deserve a raise and an increase. Likewise, we increase our ticket prices as our expenses go. I've mentioned this before. Every dollar we bring in, 50% goes to the players. We share it. We're in a partnership together with them. So the ticket increase, the price, whether it's 4% or 9%, is all going back into the hockey club. So we've made our decision, we've raised our ticket prices, and no, we'll not be rescinding that.
Okay, Cam.
Wow. What a cad move that is. You're putting it on the players. Like, you're basically saying the increase, yeah, we got an increase, but it's, you know, it's going to the players. Like, I...
Well, even just, worse, saying it's going to the parking attendants.
Right. Do you think they gave them a 4% increase?
No.
Of course not.
I mean, I just... It's so tone deaf, and it's like the U.S. economy. Did he not think he was going to be asked about that? Because he was ill-prepared for that answer yesterday, Charlie Jacobs. I don't know if he assumed that the Bruins media was not going to ask him about it, but it is 9% last year, 4% this year. You didn't make the playoffs. Absorb the loss. Like, do it for your fans.
And they are the most, as sense,
Curtis,
Greg?
Curtis, you said earlier, Bruins fans, the most loyal fan base of all four in the region.
Without a doubt.
Right?
And I would also say, Greg, why don't we make a phone call to the concession worker at the TD Garden and ask if they've gotten a 15% raise?
Yeah.
Do ticket prices normally go up, though? I mean, I don't know.
The Red Sox, honestly, they've been like around 1-2% the last several years.
So they normally go up 1-2% per year?
No, I mean, the Red Sox, I mean, depending on the year, but they certainly, when the team hasn't been as successful, the increases have not been as substantial.
Okay.
And the Bruins missing the playoffs should not be increasing tickets that were already the highest in the NHL.
So if anything, they should have went up 1% rather than 4%.
Yeah, I mean, yes. It's you pay for the product that you get. And the product has not been good. It was awful this year.
Right.
So, I mean, I just, it's so out of touch. And I guess you know, when it comes to owners, they're living a different lifestyle than what's he talking about? The U.S. economy. What is
he was trying to buy himself time, but that brain was not firing.
Okay, all right. Anyway, those are our leads this morning. We will get to more from yesterday with Cam Neely and Don Sweeney and Charlie Jacobs coming up momentarily during They Said It. And Will Campbell, who has a message for those of you who continue to small arm shame him. Coming up during They Said It in a couple of minutes. But right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Celtics take game 2 against Orlando 109-100. No Jason Tatum, but Jaylen Brown took care of business. He led the guys with a double-double, 36 points and 10 rebounds. Kristaps Porzingis was behind him with 20 points. He went down after taking a hit to the head, resulting in a lot of blood. He took his free throw shots before heading to the locker room and then returned later on after getting stitches. So the C is up 2-0 as the series heads to Orlando. Game 3 is tomorrow at 7. The other playoff games going on last night ended with the Rockets tying up their series with the Warriors. Jimmy Butler did suffer a pelvis injury in that one. He is going to get an MRI on that. And the Cavs pulling ahead up 2 games on the Heat. The Red Sox drop one to the Mariners, 8-5. The final at Fenway, Tristan Cassis hit his second homer in 2 days, and Sean Newcomb went 5 innings, giving up 4 runs on 8 hits while striking out 8. The Sox will try to take the series today. First pitch at 1:35 with Garrett Crochet taking the mound. You can listen to the game right here on EEI. Will Middlebrooks joining Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. You can kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. And to the NHL playoffs, the Kings are up 2 games on the Oilers. The Stars take it to overtime to go up 2-1 on the Avalanche, and the Capitals take a 2-0 lead over the Canadiens. Happy draft day. Pats pick 4, and the excitement kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern in Green Bay. You can join Shime right here on EEI for a little draft party. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families here in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Good news for you. While you're in the air, you can listen to the Sox on the Odyssey app.
That is true.
49 degrees in Boston, afternoon high of 72.
Curtis, she is trial obsessed. She will be streaming the trial on the flight.
Oof.
Big day yesterday. Right.
Big day.
We're going to get to it in the news?
We are going to get to it in the news.
Okay. All right. News coming up at 7:45. They Said It next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Chime, speaking of time, always Hall & Oates time on this show.
Yes. Such a good song. Great recommendation or request from a 413 texter.
Oh.
Very well done.
Long distance dedication for Charlie Jacobs.
Yes, exactly.
I am guessing. Speaking of 413, 1 week from, believe it or not, 1 week from this evening, we will be pre-gaming
for the very first roadshow of this roadshow season. We will be with you at the Taps Sports Bar and Grill at MGM Springfield 1 week from tonight. And then tomorrow, roadshow number one. And we will, sorry, not tomorrow, 1 week from tomorrow, roadshow number one at Max's Swing Lounge, which is in Springfield. So can't wait. Great. I love going out there. The radio group out there, stellar group of people.
So nice.
They put together an unbelievable couple of days out in Springfield, and we cannot wait to be there.
Yep.
So are we offering the opportunity to talk to local legends again? During the roadshow run?
I think we should. We had probably the best local legend in Springfield.
We did have, well, I mean, I would I would argue that the guy who was nearly swallowed by the whale was the best local
that was a good
legend.
One.
What about the guy that did the weather with the mollusk? What was that guy's name in Falmouth?
Oh, yeah.
Doug the Quahog.
Right, the Quahog.
Who's the the local legend?
Curtis,
was
you were very. I felt like you were very offended that he was trying to take the weather lane from you.
I have once worn a leash. That was still not as embarrassing as the Quahog guy.
Was it the basketball girls? The local legend, right?
Yes.
Okay. Name's not your thing. But,
No.
Frank Martin, the head coach of UMass, was. Very
yeah, but the, I remember him. But I remember her. Well, she was like,
"Why don't you get the new UMass
football coach on?
To be our local legend.
I'll reach out. I'll see if he wants to come on the show.
I'm an idea guy. I don't know how we would set it up, and it'll probably be Ken's job. But what if we had old school real world confessional for listeners to go in and record like a live voice note on location?
Ooh, Curtis, I love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ken, that's on you.
Be great. Maybe Jackson can pick up some kind of recording device at the Family Dollar, and we utilize that out there.
The confessional booth.
This is Kurt from Tampa, Florida. Hello, Kurt.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to comment on the Porzingis injury last night and like how iconic it was.
Yes.
For Boston sports, man, it was great to just see like a basketball player get up with a bloody head, you know, after all these flopping, and especially after LeBron, you know, he flopped and had that video of him looking for the refs. Anyway, kind of brought like kind of my attention to other Boston sports moments with players coming back from injury, and I just didn't know like if you guys wanted to rank them or like which one was the best. But I got kind of like Campbell playing for the Bruins with that broken leg and finishing his shift. The bloody sock game, and then you have Derek White last year losing the tooth, and Paul Pierce coming back from injury. I couldn't really think of many for the Patriots. I kind of like maybe Brady cutting his hand and then playing that few years ago.
Well, Wiggy,
but I just didn't know what you guys.
Wiggy played through the squeaky deekies one time, as he would say.
I would say Edelman in Super Bowl 49 was concussed to the moon and stayed in that game against the Legion of Boom. That was phenomenal.
Bird came back, right? Remember Bird came back. He brought up the bloody sock one.
I would say Greg doing the show Wednesday from the studio when we were in Fort Myers fighting off the Noro. Yes.
Or the show where he started going down with it. I think that's probably.
You mean the Monday when I actually got the Noro?
That was impressive.
I served the entire rest of the program.
I mean, Shaq the other night on Inside the NBA.
We are not talking enough about that. And he's trying to say it was number one.
We talked a lot about
it.
We talked a little bit about it yesterday. But so you don't believe him that it was number one? I mean, he was able to walk fine.
He was back pretty quickly.
His bum was clenched.
You think so?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
He was back.
He was speaking normally. Like, you'd think he would be speaking, like, in a high pitch, like, I, you know.
Courtney walks into more drops than anybody I've ever met.
What do you mean?
That was clenched.
Whoa. But you ever get the boo-boo contractions, though?
The what?
The boo-boo contractions.
Is that a medical term?
No, like, you know, when you gotta drop a douchey, right?
Yeah.
And you get, like, the contraction.
That's one of my least favorite phrases.
If you're trying to keep it in, you can't even walk. That's right. What I'm saying. Like, I don't
know. You turn to the side.
Yeah, you can. You can walk.
It's like a waddle.
Absolutely.
No.
I did it the other day. I know.
No, not when the contraction hits you. When the contraction hits you, that sharp pain, wherever you are, you're stopped. Once that contraction goes away, then you might be able to waddle a little bit and good. The question, he came back pretty quickly because if you're really, you're in a suit,
this is below our normal level of mature conversation.
I think this is right on.
If you really,
if you really have to go, you're done rather quickly.
No, but remember, you got a suit on.
Yeah, but he would have
you got a suit on, so it's like, you know, you're not rushing that.
Yeah.
You're getting there. It's a sigh of relief for a second because you've probably been dealing with the contractions probably for about 15, 20 minutes. Like, okay, I can pull it back up and I can make it through.
You mean he, like a baby, he knew it was coming.
And he's like, and then once he felt good, like, I can walk. Then I gotta go.
Well, he's doing the olive oil diet thing, so that's probably what's causing it.
What is the olive? Yeah, because
he's doing like a cleanse with olive oil.
Yeah,
and I just had my colonoscopy.
It's working.
They make you drink that stuff.
It's working.
It's working.
Apparently, it's cleansing.
Yeah,
cleanse is underway for sure. All right, on the show this morning, Red Sox front office report at 9 with Sam Kennedy. And Hill Notes at 9:20, and you can leave one of those at any moment, a voice note on any topic, and we will play the best ones back at 9:20 this morning. Roadshow number one, as I was just mentioning, 1 week from tomorrow in Springfield. We cannot wait to see you at Max's Swing Lounge.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
And they said it is brought to you by Catch's Law, and they would like to honor those who built this city, those who have worked hard to help Boston get to be what Boston is. So if you know somebody, friend, brother, sister, mom, dad, grandpa, who helped to build this city, please nominate them when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. They got unbelievable prizes, including $1,000 cash, chance to have your face on a billboard or that hero's face on a billboard. Please go to WeBuiltThisCity.com and nominate them as Catches pays tribute to the incredible people who built this city. They built this city on what, Shime?
Rock and roll.
Yeah, thank you. Where do you want to start with They Said It?
Greg, I want to begin, since we were just talking about it, let's begin with Joe Mazzulla post-game last night, talking about Kristaps Porzingis bleeding on the court. He was asked about it after the game.
Joe, it's the second time in like 2 or 3 weeks he's been cut and needed stitches. I mean, you're a USC guy. Like, you got to admire just kind of him just going back and getting stitched and coming back out. I mean, that's something that's got to kind of, you know, touch you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I like his overall just approach. I think he has an innate ability to take things very serious and at the same time, you know, have great perspective. And, you know, you see how I think he can control his environment really well with how he handles the crowd and how he handles the physicality of it. And he can maintain his kind of his poise. And he just has a great way about him. And I think that helps us. And, like, I do. I love watching him. I like watching him bleed on the court. I think it's important. And then he, you know, he comes back in and does his job. So I do like that about him.
His overall approach, his poise, I mean, be more obvious in my mind. Like, I think that he, I don't think he liked that Jason Tatum was on the ground. And Wiggy, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it.
So this is what you're saying? You believe he's talking to Jason Tatum?
No, I think he's just making a comparison.
I mean, it was glaring. Like, I mean,
one guy got a little boo boo on the head, and the other one's got a bone bruise.
A little boo-boo on
like,
the
yeah, you guy. Could play with a
one guy was bleeding, the other was not.
Yeah, but it's like you could play with a cut.
And Kristaps after the game was asked, like, was it as painful as it looked? And he said, no, it looks way worse than what it felt. He said when he split his nose the other day, that one hurt. This one didn't.
I mean, if you ever get hit like that, you've been cut on the head before. Yeah, I mean, it's painful, but it does look a lot worse because you're leaking. But if the other one, you can't even move your wrist, how are you supposed to play if you can't shoot the ball?
Well, why didn't he yell get up then?
I told you, he was closer and he saw all that blood.
My question is, what is the next element to this? Like, why are you trying to irritate your best player?
That's what I don't get.
Meaning Joe Mazzulla, if that's what he's doing.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
And if it's what you're doing and you're Jiu-Jitsu Joe, why aren't you putting your name on it and actually saying what you're doing?
Well, yeah, see, I don't think he's always trying to irritate Tatum.
Well, I mean, you would disagree with Courtney and Curtis, though. I mean, but I think he's probably trying to play mind games. Like, isn't that what he does? He's like a
an evil mind game player.
Is this his way of kind of trying to push Tatum to a like what he believes would be the next level? Is that kind of what his you believe his approach might be?
I said yesterday, I don't think he likes the, like everybody else, he doesn't like the embellishment. Like he does it.
Not everybody else. Not everybody else. Like I was fine with what Jason Tatum did. No issue at all.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, one guy who does have an issue is Will Campbell. He is a prospect in tonight's NFL draft. It seems like all the odds indicate the Patriots will take him at number four out of LSU. He had some remarks for those people who are short-arm shaming him. Here was Will Campbell live from Green Bay.
It's not exhausting. I've heard it since I was 14 years old. You know, the school that I just went to, they said the same thing to me. You know, my coaches, you know, that everybody's had a concern with my arm length since I was 14 years old and I got my first offer. I didn't let it become a problem now or then. I'm not going to now. You know, there's some teams that want to play me at guard, and I'm fully willing to do that because I'm a team guy first. I want to win, and I want to win now. I don't want to wait, and if that means me playing early, me winning, is it me at guard, me at X receiver, me at tight end, that's what I'm going to do. So, like I said, wherever, you know, the opportunity presents itself for me to get on the field as fast as possible is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Short arms don't bother me. Like that, the measurable things is the biggest, like, NFL hot old stupid thing that they've been doing since the dawn of time.
He's right there.
Yeah. He's not wrong. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, it's like something that they've been doing since. It's like the old It's the old way of thinking that for whatever reason these coaches are still or these scouts don't want to get out of. Like the great. I don't know if you could say he's the greatest, but you could make the argument one of the he'll go down as the top three greatest off defensive linemen in NFL history is going to be Aaron Donald, who on a good day was 6 feet tall.
That's a great length.
Yeah. So I don't like buy into this stupid narrative of like you gotta be 6'5" to play left tackle. You gotta have these like Matt Light wasn't the biggest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And I know he has 35-inch arms, which his wife measured, and but then there was reports that he might have been like
more like 33.
That's a great length. Yeah.
More like 33. But yeah. I mean, it's not an exciting pick.
That's the thing. It's to me, it's about the in my mind and what I see, it's about what that player will be able to do for your organization versus the players that I feel like will boost your organization a little further.
How valid are the whispers that Drake May already knows that he's the pick? Is there sourcing on that?
I don't think there's any actual sourcing on that, right?
Okay.
I think wasn't that like Todd McShay just threw that out or somebody?
Yeah.
But he didn't accredit it to anyone, so I don't know how that's the case. But I mean,
Todd McShay's pretty good at this. He wouldn't say that if he didn't hear it from someone, is my guess.
Right.
He wouldn't just throw. What's the point of just saying that?
Yeah.
I also wonder if it's just an echo chamber that we have here or if it's universally like all Patriots fans won't be excited about Will Campbell, because I did see a few beat writers writing about it yesterday saying, you know, you guys all complained about Drake not having any protection for the last year.
Yeah.
And now you're going to complain and say that this is a boring pick. Give me a break.
Well, yeah. it's like Shine brought up earlier. He's not a Joe Alt type of perception around him. Right. So he could be a great player, and we're not saying he won't, but the perception around them is like, he's a good player, but it's not a Joe Alt type of pick, where an Ashton Jeanty, in some people's mind, might be a guy that could really, you know, I know, you know, comparisons, whatever it might be, LaDainian Tomlinson or this one, but they're saying, like, you might be able to get like an elite running back that could obviously change the look of your team.
Sean, can we take a brief break?
Of course we can, Greg.
I want to get to the Bruins stuff from yesterday.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're going to get feisty Cam Neely.
Oh, yes, we are.
And Don Sweeney, or Charlie, what do we have? What do you have?
I got everything. So okay. I was gonna kick it off with the feisty Cam Neely for
okay.
sure.
All right, we will continue with the rest of They Said It next.
It is draft day all day here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, and that includes the afternoon show in Green Bay from 2 to 6 today. So
all the information that you need as the New England Patriots get ready to, or at least are scheduled to pick at number four, whether Elliot Wolf and Mike Vrabel follow Wiggy's advice or not, we will soon find out.
Mm.
We will certainly soon find out. Before we get back to They Said It, I just want to mention that we launched a fundraiser for a Greg Hill Foundation beneficiary yesterday. The Tamara family, who were driving to Logan early on Saturday morning, David, his fiance Janine, and her son Dylan, and they were struck by a driver doing over 100 miles an hour, and are dealing with some serious issues. And by all reports, David. Unbelievable, hardworking guy, self-employed wallpaper hanger, painter, and is going to be, unfortunately, dealing with this for a long, long time. So we are matching your donations up to $5,000. And if I could look quickly on so far, since we launched this late yesterday, you have donated $4,115. So if you feel like you can give, please give. When you go to thegreghillfoundation.org, that's thegreghillfoundation.org, and help this family when they need it the most.
And you're talking about, like, just something that could have been avoided, you know?
Yes.
And it caused their car to roll over three times. Like, absolutely terrible.
Yeah. And you're on your way to the airport, and you're not thinking that anything's going to happen.
Be careful on them roads.
Yes. All right. Well, hold on. We'll get back to They Said It in 1 second. This is Nate in the truck on the draft. Hello, Nate.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Hey, I called a couple times. You guys, I don't know if you guys looked at it. Mike Vrabel, in 2023, he picked Peter Skolinski out of Northwestern.
Yeah.
Skolinski, yep. At Northwestern there. And he immediately... He was supposed to be a tackle. He immediately turned him into a guard. His wingspan is 79 inches. Will Campbell's is 77. And they both have 32-inch arms. So I'm just having a feeling he's not going to make the same mistake that he did in 2023 that he's, you know, possibly going to do tonight. So
okay. I have to know how long my arms are. Like, the more we talk about it, I'm so intrigued.
Is it
do you want arm length or wingspan?
Well, both. I mean, if we're doing it, we should do it all. But
because his wingspan is all the way across, right?
So where does the arm start?
Shime, is it like right in the armpit, or is it like more a little bit because you would be?
Well, what you on the arm, you do what Santo does, measure from the base.
No. Santo doesn't need to do any measuring. That thing is large.
There you go. We know. Okay. We know.
Yeah.
No, it's 5 inches.
Nope.
No logic.
It's big. Total. Big. Big time and good girth.
Okay.
Oh, my Lord.
All right.
Yes, I know.
But I think it's like, I don't really buy into that, because if you got good technique and you're not, you know, you can still, you know, you got
it's
good
hands.
It's
all about the technique.
Yeah.
Right.
Size has nothing to do with it.
It's all about the motion in the pocket.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, sorry. We were in the middle of They Said It. And we're gonna go to this Bruins press conference yesterday, Sean.
That's correct. Cam Neely got a little spicy with Kevin Paul DuPont about the draft failures, quote unquote, of the Boston Bruins. A little bit of a longer cut here, but here was Neely and Kevin Paul DuPont.
Question on drafting and development. Neither of them have really been up to expectations, in my opinion.
So can you just elaborate on that, Kevin?
The drafting?
Yeah.
Well,
where we've picked and who we've picked and how it's turned out.
Well, where you've picked is not a lot of top 10 picks, but ultimately
not a lot of first round picks.
But ultimately, are those draft picks, have they developed? Have they come in? Have they come online the way you want them?
I think that our drafting and developing, the narrative there is a little off, and it's been going on for quite some time. Goes back to 15, and 15, it was really unfair to Don. By the time Don got hired, it was late May. Draft was late June. He wasn't even probably thinking about being a general manager of the Boston Bruins at the time. What Don did leading up to the draft to make the acquisitions that he did with those picks to get the three picks, I thought was really good. Then Don was trying to move up in the draft. It didn't work out. What we should have done, looking back, we should have taken some time out and said, okay, guys, let's regroup here. We didn't move up. We got three picks in a row. I think it was very new for everybody. We stood backstage for those three picks. What we should have done was get back to our table and say, okay, let's sit down and say, are we okay with our list? And, you know, look, these are things you try to learn from. Other picks throughout after that, I think we've got a number of players, not necessarily playing with the Boston Bruins, but a number of players that we have drafted that have played NHL hockey games. We have traded those picks. We have traded some of the prospects to try and improve our club to win the Stanley Cups. So the narrative that we're not hitting on all our draft picks. No one is. You pick in the top 10, you better hit. We haven't done that in quite some time. So have we been perfect? No. Can we be better? Yes.
Okay. I mean, to be fair, I you know, oftentimes they have not had the opportunity to, because of their success, to be picking high in the draft. I can understand that argument.
That does not sound like someone that thinks they have to be better at anything. He sounds like the problem is the media. That if only they were covered accurately, he wouldn't be getting criticism. Like, what are you talking about, Cam? Who cares about all of those other factors? When you have had three consecutive picks, you blamed it on the time that your GM had, and the roster has fallen short of achieving its goal of winning a cup. Any other of the major sports in Boston win one title in 50 years, it's a problem.
Mm. Imagine if they gave Bill that grace. Like, yeah, they don't really pick in the top 10.
Well, yeah.
But so I don't know how the NHL draft and development necessarily works, right? But when you just start to go back and you say, okay, how many players, because we did this with Bill, how many players did they draft that are currently with the team that you would say, okay, they hit on that guy?
During Don Sweeney's tenure,
yes.
You're asking.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And my question also would be, why are you holding coaches more accountable than the front office? Like, so let's look at the draft record of Don Sweeney versus the coaching record of Cassidy and Montgomery. Who's been better? Wouldn't you say the coaching has been better than the drafting?
Yeah.
So then why do the coaches keep getting fired?
They said shorter shelf life. That was their excuse.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, why don't you hold everybody to the same standards?
And I would ask Cam, because I don't know about that. So other than a top 10 pick, all those other guys that you draft are generally, it would be like taking seventh rounders. The likelihood that they make the team and they're productive is not very high. Right? Because that's what, like, you know, as I'm just going through.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's very similar to the NFL draft where you can get, I think Marchand was a third rounder. Like, you can get guys in every round.
Brandon Carlo was a second rounder.
Yeah. So
the only people.
Swayman was he a fourth rounder? It looks like a fourth rounder.
Yeah. Greg, the only people they've held accountable are the ones that dared to hold the players Don Sweeney picked accountable. The coaches that hold the players accountable are fired. That's how they've been operating, because Don Sweeney doesn't want to think that he picks soft guys, because it can't be the guys that he picked. It can't be their drafting. It has to be the coach.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. We will get to Courtney and today's news coming up momentarily, including what science says your wife or your husband does with their face that ensures, unfortunately, a 94% chance that you are headed for divorce.